Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Kind of love the things we like. Going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No,
whatever grade level or type of school,
my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together,
I'm shaping students that'll shape forever.
The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should,
I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wind,
being at school makes me wanna sing, oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever, I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, you're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh, class is online,
gonna open up the minds.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine. Come along with me
and be real good teachers.
Hey, 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 welcome live on Try the Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community, round table discussion. I am Beverly Black and I am the creator of the recipe for literacy in the Black community, so named after the first anthology out of the Gumbo for the Soul book series. We named our book to focus on literacy because at the time there was a 50% dropout rate among high school students in the Black community and a very low college enrollment rate. So rather than focus on our original vision, which was spirituality, we changed, or I should say I changed, the vision to literacy. The backstory is that my children went to school and some of the kids that attended school were flunking, but they still had all the latest gadgets and toys and mainstream media type PlayStations and what have you. And my children couldn't understand why there wasn't any discipline. Well, I opened up a literacy program at my kitchen table. Some of the children that were associates at church would stand in front of the church to read. And these children were dressed to the nines, and they could not read. And I've got my children elbowing me in the pews wondering what is going on here, because what? Literacy is very high on the bar in our family. So, of course, that was noted by my own children who were in elementary school, watching their peers not able to read. So it starts at home, and I come in as a parent and the founder of the Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program. However, I am so honored on this season finale. This is the end of season two, and I'm so honored to have had the sponsorship of one of our guest speakers this evening. Her name is Dani Smith Mathis. She is going to tell us all about her and give us some background about what she does and has done in the educational realm. Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community, roundtable discussion. I am proud to bring on parents, educators, homeschoolers, and more to this discussion. Welcome, Dani Smith Mathis. How are you, Queen?
Good evening, Beverly. How are you? I'm doing much better, recovering from a really bad sinus infection. Thank God I didn't have COVID, but oh my goodness. Life as you get older just gets longer to get over things. But I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm much better than I was last week.
It's good to hear your voice and that you are going strong. And we are reminded that I wasn't feeling good either, Queen. And that's the reason for the makeup show that we have this evening, because remember, we were scheduled for December 28th, and I just couldn't make it. Thank God it wasn't COVID on this end in this household either. And so we're going strong. And yes, we're not little children anymore. We don't just bounce back as fast. We bounce back now. Don't get it twisted out there, listening land. We just don't bounce back as fast. Listen, Queen, tell our audience, who is Dani Smith Mathis on the educational front? And then we're going to bring on our guest speakers. We have Kathy Wright Lewis, and we have Ms. Erin Joshua. I'm very excited about this young lady. And so I want you to tell our audience who you are.
Well, first and foremost, thank you all for coming and tuning in and listening. Beverly, thank you for the opportunity to be the sponsor for this evening's program, for this whole series, actually. And thank you for this finale.
Thank you.
And I appreciate it. I've been honored to be the sponsor. Dani Smith Mathis, I am an educator. I am the product of educators and education. I am a graduate of the University of Southern California's Master in Professional Writing Program and the Creative Writing Program out of Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm also a former homeschooling mother, currently part-time next-gen, what I call myself, next-gen homeschooling parent, because I'm actually homeschooling my grandson part-time. And so, yeah, that's who I am, and that's what I do.
Awesome, awesome. Kudos to your accomplishments, and we're going to get into tonight's discussion about banned books, and we know that you are also an author. So we're going to come back around after we complete the introductions. I'm going to go over to Kathy Wright Lewis. Kathy Wright Lewis, peace and blessings, Queen. How are you? Say hello. Say hello to Dani Smith Mathis.
Hello, peace, Dani Smith Mathis, and peace and blessings to you too, my sister Beverly Black, I appreciate you so much always for allowing my voice to be heard.
Well, thank you so very much. And I just want to thank you for also being a sponsor here on Tribe Family Channel in general. Thank you for making it possible for us to continue on the airwaves. We got a mighty lineup in 2022. So, but go ahead. You were saying?
Oh, I thought you wanted me to just introduce myself too, or are you going to?
Absolutely. Let the world know.
Okay. I love this. I'm an educator for life. I always say I'm retired, but I'm really not because I'm still teaching. But I did serve 35 years in public education. I taught high school, and I trained teachers. And so I was a mentor, teacher trainer, staff developer, that type of thing, English department chair. And what I like the most, though, is being a literacy coach because I got to play as a liaison between the administration and the teachers. So I help them to prepare themselves. And I retired in 2013, but I continued to teach at Mega Evers College here in Brooklyn for another 5 years. So right before COVID, I decided I'm going to finish my books and take some time off. And I I'm home writing. I just finished my third novel. So I'm the CEO of Pell and a Pen. So free writers workshop here in Brooklyn in the Brownsville section of Brooklyn, where I was raised. And I help writers who don't usually get a voice, you know, a chance to raise their voices or be heard. I help them write their books and get them published.
Wow, phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. And I'm so honored just to hear both of your voices here and what you bring to the table. And I'm telling you, you're going to be just as proud as I am. This next guest speaker is also one of our newest sponsors, and she will also be taking on the reins with Mr. Alan T. Black to become our guest sponsor host of season 3 of the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community when we come back January 10th. And I'm talking about none other than Ms. Erin Joshua. Come in here, Quentin. How are you?
Hi, everybody. I am amazing. How is everybody doing? I'm so honored to be here and excited. Hi, ladies.
This is the day of the family. Y'all say hey.
There.
She just celebrated her 31st birthday, so happy birthday, belated.
You know, big Sagittarius energy. Sagittarius is all Sagittarius.
Okay. That's right. Now, Ms. Erin Joshua, tell our listening audience and tell the queens who we are in the company of as well who you are. You know, one of the things that just makes me so proud is because I'm someone that loves the library. All my children can tell you they were raised going to the library, getting a library card, checking out your Maximum books. You could even check out VHSs. Remember when that came about? Oh, we were cool. You couldn't tell us nothing. I love the library. So I know I'm telling part of it and not at all, but please let our audience know who you are.
Well, I am Erin Joshua, and I am a librarian. I went to the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, and I got a bachelor's degree in English education. And then I went to Southern Arkansas University and got a master's in education with a focus in library media specialty. I've been a librarian this is my fifth year. I taught English in middle school and high school before that. So, yeah, I'm an elementary school librarian right now. So the funny thing about that is that it's allowed me to teach every single grade. So I've worked with kids from pre-K all the way up through high school. So, yeah, I say I'm an educator. So I'm excited about that. So, yeah.
Awesome. And we know that you are also an author. We're authors. And we're going to go back around about, because this discussion this evening is about banned books. And we know that there were a lot of books banned in 2021 that added to the list. And the flyer for this show now contains a link in the comments where I've added the Barnes & Noble's list. I shouldn't be shocked, but I am shocked to see, and we already knew that the 1619 Project was on the banned book list. But I just learned today, looking at the list, that the book The Hate U Give is on here. Mm-hmm. And that book is the precursor to the movie The Hate U Give with, I forget our darling girl's name, who did such a phenomenal role in that movie. And I want to go around the room and just have you all talk about yourselves as an author. Tell us the titles of your books and just what is your feeling when it comes to sequestering your freedom of speech as an author. We're going to start with you, Kathy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, first, I'm going to quote Toni Morrison, or at least paraphrase. You know, you have the right to ban books for your children, but you don't have the right to ban books for my children. You know, everybody's concerned about what our children take in, but I feel like it's the desire or the mission behind this. You know, their objective is more to keep information from the students instead of, like, trying to stop them from, you know, learning something. They're afraid of what they're going to learn, which is obscene, and it should be illegal. I've been teaching for a long time, and whenever I had a book we had books that we wanted to teach the children that were not on the list, that were banned, and I'm not going to say I broke the law, but I use excerpts. If it's something I felt that was very important, I had to say, you have to find a way around because we are kids. And I cannot allow my students not to be cognizant of these of gems, jewels from our history that they need to know, you know. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll quote Malcolm X, I'll quote whomever, but it's just ridiculous for these books to be considered banned. My books, my first novel is called Mariah Seed, Why Hope Lives Behind Project Wall. I'm sorry?
Wait before you go into your books, sister, and only because you mentioned Toni Morrison, Beloved is on the list.
I know.
Okay.
That just tells me, yeah, that they're afraid, one, about spirituality, of course, and anybody to think about if anything has anything to do with slavery, as if you could stop it from being, known. That always seems like to be the objective, so that our children don't know anything about slavery. And that's, I think that's ridiculous. And I've seen textbooks that say, Africans came here to be workers, okay, and where they left out in American history the entire slave trade. So, it's clear what their objective is, it's clear. But we have to be to make sure we have to educate our children.
Absolutely. And, this is an interesting list.
as I scroll through it. What are your book titles, Queen? And then we're going to go to you, Erin.
Okay.
Okay.
Ow. Well, my first, so I'm a co-author. I've been specializing in really collaborating with other authors to get messages out there in tandem with other women. The first book I co-authored was domestic, had to do with getting the word out about domestic violence and not being silent anymore. So the title of it is called Survivors Celebrating Life Beyond Domestic Violence. And it was a book designed as a coffee table book to really, really show the beauty for ashes that comes out of domestic violence. We can't envision anything beautiful about it. But the women and men who survive it come out beautiful, and if they allow that transformation. And so 13 of us got together and co-authored that book. And then I have two books that are basically companion books that will probably be on a banned list eventually. I say that in meaning that they are they're controversial, because the first book is called, and forgive me, I'm very tired, Shut 'Em Down, Black Women, Racism, and Corporate America. My chapter title is called Get the Language Right, and it's taken from a speech by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who, not so well-known speech by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., where he had talked about how everything, if you look it up in a dictionary, to the definition of the word black versus the word white, and everything black was sinister and degrading and demeaning and ugly, and everything white was high and holy and mighty and pure. And he said in that speech, but I want to get the language right tonight. So my chapter was about getting that language right within the context of a false narrative being spoken about me in corporate America. And then companion book is called Everyday Struggle, which is about toxic workspaces and the impact on black women. And I have a chapter in that book called Silence of the Soil, where it's a companion book, but it talks very briefly in more paragraphs that I broke down just microaggression and racism, sexism and harassment and tone policing and gaslighting in corporate America. And then the new book I have was a recap of my daughter's my view of my daughter's time in the United States Army. I collaborated with 10 other women on a book called Her War Too. It's an anthology. And my daughter's in time in it. And so we, as mother and daughter, she tells her story and I tell my story about my view of her story. And so,
Have mercy. Phenomenal, phenomenal. You know, and that's why I wanted to hear from you on this panel, because of your style of writing. And, you know, I know you said, in all modesty about your book possibly becoming a banned book, because the way you write, the transparency that you're giving, and especially this one with black women in the workplace, they do not want to hear that tone, okay? They know they have these microaggressions, and the fact that you're pointing them out will become a problem to them. See, putting other black women up on the characteristics and what to look for in these areas and how to analyze and act upon them or not act upon them. But anything that's going to empower us as a people against the masses and the traps that are laying, because we cannot say that anything is not by design. We just have to have the type of intellect, wit, and understanding as to maneuver around the laws and the policies and everything that is therein to control. Excuse me. And so I can also appreciate the fact that you cited work from books that you may not be able to have the book there, but certainly the work and the truth is merited. And it's amazing, as I still continue to scroll through the banned book list from Barnes & Noble, to see books on there, I Am Not Your Negro, you know, James Baldwin, you know, well, he is not your Negro, so why does it have to be banned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just not understanding.
Yeah. That's just one I want to make, Beverly, about my chapters in my book, because I am only representing my chapters, but my sisters in writing of those books, I'm sure, have a similar bent. But right mm-hmm. now, for me, I am in a positioning myself to be a conduit to corporations and workspaces that need to have these hard discussions, and mm-hmm. these really my chapter. As I represent my chapter for it to become part of a case study of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion sensitivity training. And mm-hmm. it's all about truth awaits the conversation. That is my hashtag. And I really, really challenge anyone in that space to grab these books as case studies and to adopt them worldwide. So that the conversation can be had, because unless you have truth at the basis of any conversation, there's no change to be effective.
Mic drop. Mic drop. Erin.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us, you know, how you feel in terms of the banned books, any particular authors that stand out for you, and of course, tell us about, you know, definitely what comes across your desk, being that you are right there, you know, what would you call, you're like that entrance into the world of literature. When it comes to our children at school, I used to love leaving class to go to the library. Yes, I'll form a straight line. Okay. Let's go.
I would have loved you, because my kids cannot. So for me, Kathy summed it up really well, but for me specifically, I think that it comes down to access. I think when you ban a book, you take away the access. And like she said, you can say for your child that, okay, my child is not going to read this, but you then cannot take away the access for other children or other people who then want to read the books. And for me, specifically in my job is to be, like you said, a conduit for information. Like, it's not my job to police your child what they're reading. It's my job to provide them with access to information. And I think a lot of challenging books and banning books and even a lot of legislation that's coming in place, specifically here in Texas with me, is really about hiding information, trying to create a situation where the information cannot be accessed so that they can rewrite history. Or, and basically, I would say lie. Like, they want us to rewrite history tell our...
Somebody will say lie.
And lie to our children. And they think that if we take the books away or if we rewrite this, it takes away what happened, and they don't understand that there are generations of people who know the truth, who are telling their children the truth. So you can say, okay, you can't have this book in school, but that's not going to stop what happens at home. And because when I learned about my history from my parents, and then I went out mm-hmm. and got the books and got the knowledge. So for me, I know that it's all about rewriting history and lying. It's about trying to rewrite history and make things, try to dress it up and make something ugly, trying to put it in a pretty dress. And that's not what it is. It's a, like, history is ugly. And you just because you take something away, it doesn't change what happened. And I think that's part of it is they want to, they think that that's going to make it okay, but that doesn't, if that makes any sense. And for
it
me, like one
of
the main books.
You were saying, it's very short. It really what you are outlining is the fact that we are in an era of creating alternative universes, alternative narratives, and everything mm-hmm. is about shifting the conversation. They don't care how many of us out here know the truth. We can shut the hell up as far as they're concerned. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, y'all. This is Tribe Family Channel. We keep it real here. You know, we can shut up as far as they're concerned. They don't care what, if I can get out there with a bullhorn and they do not care. Because guess what? Mm. If my bullhorn is not effective enough to shut them down, they're going to keep bulldozing right through. Okay? Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, Aaron, there are legislature, we're going to talk about that after we come back around. There's a Senate bill number 1142 out there. But let me let you continue on. I just wanted to highlight the fact that everything that you were saying, it just lends to the fact that they are creating alternative narratives and they don't care mm-hmm. who's sounding the truth.
That is true. That mm-hmm. is very true. And anything that is challenging that narrative or that thought, any book or any other form of thought processes, then their idea is, oh, well, we got to get rid of that. Like even some of the books that have been banned that are like older books, like even like To Kill a Mockingbird, where
right.
like, the idea that this white man would defend a black man, or even in like books like Animal Farm, where there's an uprising, where there's alternative thought, they want those books gone because it's not in line with the thought process that they have. So, but yeah, so that's how
and to
I
kill
feel
a
about
mockingbird.
That.
And To Kill a Mockingbird is sitting right here, plain as day.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So go ahead and thank you so much. Tell us your book title and how, you know, it makes you feel when you think in terms of book banning and shutting down your voice, if it were to come to that, as a librarian, if you were to pull out the list, come, you know, next Monday, and you see your name on the list, would you come flying out of the library into the office?
I'll be running out the door. No, my book, it's titled Things I Only Say in My Head, A Poetic Journey to Self-Love, and my book is a book of poetry, but it's also a workbook where the people reading it can write their own pieces within the poems. So for me, my book is not for my age group, obviously, because I have elementary, but I do know that specifically with poetry, because it's such a free expression, it would be a sad shame for specifically poetry books to be banned, and I would feel horrible if, you know, they said, oh, well, you can't read this, because one, you know, I feel like my art is based on, you know, my own experiences, but my experience as a black woman in the world, and also it creates a space where other people can talk about their own experiences. So not only can you read about a experience, but you can then share your own thoughts. So for me, I think that it's stifling and it's scary, because when you say to someone, well, your thoughts can't be heard, then what do you do when you take someone's thought, when you take someone's freedom to feel how they feel and basically tell them that you just got to keep that to yourself and nobody cares, no one can understand that, no one can read that. That would be crushing to me, and I think it'd be crushing to other poets and other writers who have worked so hard to speak about their own experiences. And when you ban a book or when you challenger book, it negates that person's experience. It negates their work. You're saying, oh, this is not good or not good enough, and so it doesn't deserve to be here. And that, to me, is devastating.
And you hit the nail on the nose. They're saying your voice is invalid, your words don't matter, and even if you, because freedom of speech and sequestering the freedom of speech is now bleeding into, I won't say now, but this isn't new. Banning books in America isn't new. Huckleberry Finn is banned.
Yeah.
It's sitting right here on page one, the third one over. You see, so it's not new, but it's definitely it's almost like if we were to shut down modern day journalism here in America because you don't want the truth out. You know, this alternative universe. If you shut down, you know, any Times, major Times newspaper, or let's go further back than that, the North Star, Frederick Douglass. If you were shutting down our words and saying that our perspective and views don't matter, that means we're to go along with whatever narrative is being created for us. And it is, it's very devastating. It's devastating right now because the 1619 Project just came out. Is it shut down already?
Right.
Exactly.
May I say something, Sister Beverly?
Please.
This is Kathy speaking.
Yes.
And, you know, we can never forget where we are. Because it's the same place, you know. It's the same place our ancestors were dragged to against their will.
Come on.
And and we always had to be creative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not new either. And we gotta send the information out just like they did with the North Star. All that stuff was done in secret at first. We had to have our own secret societies and our underground movements, you know, in order to get the information out. Shout out to David Walker, who wrote his appeal and told everybody to stand up and fight for themselves and to free themselves. And, you know, his book was sent out from one seaport to another because he was on the ship and he made sure that he was free. He made sure everybody got the word you're being wronged. How dare they? He attacked the Christians, so-called Christians, for being for having slaves and calling themselves Christians. But we always, my point is, we always got the word out, however we can, even from back then to now with underground hip hop. And I remember when I first read the ISIS papers. It was given to me like, yeah, this is underground, sis, you know. It looks the other way, like, don't act like you're getting this, you know. I don't have a problem. I mean, I have a problem with them banning our books, absolutely. But everything I do I don't need their permission, you know. I'm going to give it out hook or crook. You know, we're going to teach it. We're going to speak it. We got to do everything that we need to do to get it out. We can't allow them to dictate, you know, what we do, you know, in our homes and with our children. That's how I grew up. We were sharing and passing information on left and right and doing the things we needed to do for us. I'm not surprised. It's ridiculous, though. I mean, they have books on here. It's just ridiculous what's on here. Speak. Why is what's wrong with speak? Anything that, but if you look at it, anything that would offend a white man is what's on this list.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Anything
that would,
you know.
You're talking about the book Speak?
Speak. Yeah, the Speak.
Uh-huh.
The book Speak.
Yeah, it's
and
on
that's
there.
A white, that's a white, yeah, that, yeah. She's white, but, you know, but it's about, you know, being raped and you know.
Exactly.
So it's you know, their behavior. So you can tell who this is for, who it's always been for, and it's the same push for them to do whatever they want and stop, you know, everybody else from being free. No, but we have to learn to fight for our intellectual. We fight on a lot of different levels, but not always as much for our intellectual property as we should. We are often taken advantage of, and we need to have our own school so we can teach what we want. Nobody decides what comes in the classroom, what goes out.
That's true.
Now, all right, Zora Neale Hurston over there. you're on the list, too. And this is what I love about Kathy so much. What y'all don't
My
know about Kathy, Kathy is... I'm looking through it. I got to search your name. Kathy is over there in New York, surviving 9/11, being right there with the unearthing of African burial ground and being on the front lines trying to protect history. This is the strength and the empowerment that you're hearing in that Brooklyn accent for our listening audience and our guests here who are just tuning in. We are having a phenomenal discussion, the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community Roundtable Discussion. We're going to go right back to you, Aaron, before we bookend your segment and get over to my sister, Danny Smith-Mathis. Aaron, you mentioned the things that are going on down there where you are in Texas. Big up to Texas. I see your affiliation with my boy Michael Gwynn on the poetry. He's been on the platform. Sent him to see the Shylocks to take his girlfriend out a few years back.
Cool.
So congratulations. Yeah, congratulations to you and your poetry get down and everything. But when you mentioned what's happening down there in Texas, are you talking about the superintendent, the black superintendent that was pushed out of his job, talking about he's teaching critical race theory when he's not?
Not specifically that, but there is, I did hear about that, but there is new legislation specifically for educators and librarians, too, about, I feel like it's a witch hunt, but it's about the words we use, the things we can teach, the books that we have in the library, and the information that was given out to me, it's about we have to remain neutral when we speak about things. We're not going to be allowed to talk about the truth in the real way. We have to be neutral. So if we're talking about the Holocaust, if we're talking about slavery, we have to have a neutral standpoint. We can't have an opinion. And if we have books in the library with one thought process, then we have to have the other thought process too, if that makes any sense. So that's some of the new legislation that's coming. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, and we haven't got the training for it just yet. But yeah, that's a new thing that's coming down the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense, and it's lunacy all at the same time, because. Thank you, Lord. I had lost my thought because of the fact that there is no alternative dialogue for the Holocaust. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the lunacy of what they are examining. And I remember hearing a it was a hidden camera with a principal talking to the teachers, telling them if you have the Holocaust, then you have to have an alternative. And you can hear the gasp in the room. The heck you going to have an alternative? I have to have an alternative to slavery.
Okay. What's the other alternative? There is no other alternative.
The other alternative is what Abraham was really, he really didn't want to free the slaves, but he had to save the Union, so he compromised. That's the only alternative I have. All right. For all you Abraham Lincoln lovers. We better go on, Danny. You better come on in here, sister. I'm about to unwind.
Goodness,
it's just a pleasure.
I don't know how to add to all of this, really. I'm just so old school. I believe that parents are the gatekeepers of their children's education.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, truly believe that if you're going to talk about literacy, it is not the ability to only speak and to recognize words and have your phonics in order. You're talking about transfer of knowledge. To me, that's where literacy really begins. And so I don't, you know, I can show you a book right here in my home that dates back to my seventh great-grandmother in 1745, who was one of 18 slaves owned by her slave owner, who eventually married her. And
wait, what? Repeat, please.
Mm-hmm. So I have a book called The Descendants of the Daniels, and this is on my maternal grandmother's side, and we have documented, we have our slave papers from this particular side of our family, where a man by the name of Peter Martin in Halifax County, Virginia, who came out of England doing taxation audits and things like that, enslaved 18 black people here in Halifax County, Virginia. One of them was my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, Phyllis Daniel Martin.
Mm.
And this dates back to 1745.
Wow.
I just teach my family history. I don't need to teach anyone else's history but my family's history. There's nothing you can censor. Nothing.
You're preaching.
And there's enough slave history in each of our family's history that we could teach till the cows came home.
Absolutely.
And so if as a parent, and as a grandparent, I have documented the entire line of every woman that came from that union. This man had a change of heart and eventually freed all 18 of his slaves and married one of them, which was my sixth great-grandmother. And so then we look at all of the occupations that came out of it and all of the success stories that came out of that. And
let me ask you, I'm sorry to cut you off, Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a transfer of wealth in that marriage? Did that, you know?
Yes, and it's still, you can still go right up the road, and we still own the farm.
That doesn't happen often.
We still own the farm, and it was the
Lord have mercy.
The women, when the men died, they kept the farm going. And so,
when is this book going to be available for the public's reading?
It's already there. But listen, every story, every family has a story. And that is what the African griot is all about, storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the NFL.com/in, I think it's called, Insight Change or something like that. There's this huge program now that the NFL is running, and it's on storytelling. And the purpose of the storytelling, it is directly at the foundation of one of the initiatives of this program, which is police community reform. Because they know that when we start talking about stuff changes.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say that truth awaits the conversation. So when you talk about banning books, I would highly recommend, you know, the Ban Book Week was this past.
Come on, I'm on the website now.
September 26th through October 2nd.
All these queens are on it.
If you just go to the ALA website, the American Library Association website, this is where we need to be parking it. This is where we need to be letting people know, joining them on what the initiatives that they have, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel to make people. American Library Association is already doing this because basically if you're banning books, you're what you're doing is you're taking away somebody's freedom to read. And you start doing that, then what happens? Then libraries do what? I mean, people don't even know how to use libraries. My grandson got a library card. You're going to the library. You're going to check out a book. You're going to even sit there. I want him to see what it looks like to be in the world of books. That is the world of reading. That is something that we ought not to play with, because that is something that our ancestors fought hard for. And I don't even want to say, I know my queen sister said, we're still where we were. We are not still where we were. They are still where they were. Because she came back and said, we've always been able to maneuver and had to go through that and go through it to get to a better situation. So we've always gone through to get to. But they had never gone to get to anything, because they already thought that they were the ish. See, they already thought they were already two. But now what they find out is, after all of this stuff, I'm telling you, you know, you look at Colin Kaepernick and you see what he did. And I'm telling you, it changed the world. One knee changed the world. It changed the whole trajectory of social injustice. Whether they want to admit it or not. And now the NFL has couched it in their nice little initiatives and all of that. But what if I told you so was a person? Hey, guess what? Newsflash. He was.
Come on.
Yeah. So,
ladies,
as far as I'm concerned, Beverly and Queen, I believe that when you teach whatever family history you can glean, whatever family history, you can take a whole knowledge transfer module into your generations to generations to generations, then that is the key to maintaining freedom. Because it already tried to break us up. And now we've had to pack a lot of things back together. And when you start looking at your own family, whatever that is, whatever the history is, it may not be a great, you know, you may not even be able to trace that far back. You know, I can't trace that far back. My father, right? But there are things that define every family. And you have things to be proud of. We have things that we are not so proud of. But it defines our family. And how we transfer that knowledge is just as important as the knowledge that we allow to come into our family so that we can transfer it into, you know, a good grade. To me, it's way more important to know your family history.
So if this book were banned, and you can see this is generations, you know, great-grandmother to the sixth power history, how would that make you feel in terms of, because what you're talking about here in terms of Colin Kaepernick is a paradigm shift. I feel like it's a great paradigm shift when you have the truth being sequestered and you have an era of time where you can be called out for telling the truth, but the alternative lies flying like a hotcake out of IHOP. See, I'm getting wound up again, y'all. We're coming up to the end of the show. But just to allow you to bookend it for us, Queen.
Let them ban books. Let them ban books. You don't want to read it, we'll tell it. Show and tell. You know, if you think about it, how much show and tell is going on in schools? Y'all are teachers. Tell me. You have a show and tell every week? At every grade level?
No, of course not.
No.
I taught high school. I didn't
say show and tell.
But
bring back show and tell. You don't have to read a thing.
Anything.
I'll show you and I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you and I'll tell you. Let me show you and I'll tell you. Are they banning? You know, when I was in high school, I had to sit through for an American history class the birth of a freaking nation.
Wow.
The birth of a nation. That was on the syllabus. Let's start banning some of that.
Yeah, really.
You ain't never lied about that.
I showed my students our birth of a nation, but I just want to, if I may, real quick, to say, you know, you're singing my song, Danny, and I definitely believe that is how we maintain freedom. You know, how we maintain engagement in the classroom, how we teach. I've never had a problem engaging a student because I was talking about them. I was talking about their, you know, we were reading about their lives and their ancestors. And as soon as you start talking about them, you have them completely. They want to hear about that. You know, but I just wanted to say, I also represent the ones who didn't know their family histories. You know, my mother was adopted. My father was MIA. So it took me some time. I ended up a researcher. I ended up getting some information. And, of course, that is a feeling that is so amazing because in a child's mind, I'm not complete if I don't know where I come from. It's just there. Mm. So not to have that is criminal for them not to be able to see themselves. You know, they're called the windows or the sliding door. They need to see themselves and not just like I'm looking at somebody else's story all of the time.
You're preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
you are
and Queen,
preaching.
You know, that's absolutely right. But also know this, your adoption is your family history.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that whole history, too. And it's a magnificent work. And God doesn't make mistakes. He gave me that family for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, blood is spirit, you know, same thing. So
amen.
The spirit of the love there, you know, is all
right.
We needed, and we're good like that. But I needed to know, you know, some other stuff too.
Absolutely.
So I needed to know what I was saved from, because we always want to think that we had something else better. But God showed me what I was saved from.
Well,
amazing.
Glory in our story, and you know, it's just amazing to have your voices here, and we know that you're there, Aaron, on the front line, because you know, you are now part of the receiving end of what you better and better not do in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
And it is crazy. So I want to give you all the opportunity to share some final thoughts, closing, you know, words and where people can find you. And so we're going to start with you, Aaron. Any final thoughts to this discussion and where can people find you online?
I guess what's my final thoughts is just the importance of libraries, and to go along with what you ladies said, I grew up in the library, so that's how I became a librarian. And I truly believe that when you give books to children, you give them freedom. So that's something that I'm very proud that I get to be a part of every day. My website is lifeunlocked.org. That's LIFEUNLOCED.org. And that's my blog. And you can follow me on Instagram at lady_Joshua1. You can follow me on Facebook, Aaron Joshua. And again, my book is titled Things I Only Say in My Head. And I'm just so honored to be in the presence of such grace and intelligence. Thank you so much, ladies, for teaching me and allowing me to be a part of this space. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your voice and for bridging the gap between, we're not old school, we're true school, and we consider you
right.
up and coming new school. You're carrying the baton and forging forward, bringing in, you know, our babies. You're out there on the front line bringing in those babies. So we really, really appreciate your voice and what you're doing out there. It's another, it takes a whole nother breed of bravery to be out there today.
That's for sure.
So we thank you.
Yeah, because these kids are different kids.
They're different kids. And a lady like me couldn't be out there with them kids. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you. Children to my class can sit down here, too, and hear what I have to say to them. Because the same thing I say to them, to tell them to tell you at home, I will tell you to your face. Don't bring your childhood here to my class not ready to learn. As a parent, I always felt that there was an obligation to bring my children, to take my children to school prepared to learn and to make it known how I feel about these children. I know you're teaching a lot of children, but you're not teaching my children. You know, you have to as a parent, you have to let the world know that your children are important to you. And so when I say you're not teaching my children, I'm sending my children prepared to learn and absorb that which is right and useful in their lives. They know who they are when they arrive at school. I'm not looking for educators to so much as tell my children who they are as to create the safe space for them to express who they already know they are. And I appreciate that you're on the front line, Aaron. Now, go ahead, Kathy, where can our listen? Oh, and I'm sorry, before we get off of Aaron, I'm just proud that Aaron will be here with Mr. Alan Black, leading season 3 of this very show right here, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. That's going to be January 15th, 24th, and 31st. So please support this sister, this author, this librarian. She's on the front line with our children from a wide spectrum, and she is also conveying her thoughts via poetry and wisdom in her work. So thank you so much once again, Erin.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Kathy, what's happening, Queen?
Yes,
you know I'm just always so blessed when I can feel your presence. You know, this sister, you know, because of your story and just your connection with, you know, Mother Africa, the continent, and being there on that front line maintaining, you know, history and, you know, you being so blessed. You're right there still at the brownstones. You know, I'd give anything to still be in my neighborhood that I grew up in doing what you're doing. But tell everyone any final thoughts you may have and where they can reach you.
Oh, okay. It's just always such a blessing, like I said, to be heard and to connect with like not just like minds, like spirits, like souls, and just to know that you know that I'm not out here alone. You know, we need to be together. We need to work as one unit to save our children. That's the only way we could get the job done. So kudos to everyone. Thank you, Sister Danny. Thank you, Sister Erin. I think the library is the most important room in the whole school. So I love you. I love that. I love the library. So you can find me at KathyWrightLewis.com. Purchase books. I have children's books as well as books for adults. So that's my name is my email. Also, My writing workshop, which is on Saturdays, Power in the Pen, is at 11 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. So you can find me on www.powerinthepen.org. And everyone is not welcome. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Queen. And we're just honored for your voice and Small World. One of your writer associates, Swartzen Prefail, has shown his sponsorship. We're having a book drop party for him this Sunday, and he is going to be on our poetry panel April 2022. We have some shows scheduled with him. That's not solid yet, but I just want to let you know that your impact is felt and has brought other voices to us as well. So we appreciate your work and what you're doing. And everyone,
that's
Kathy with an I-E.
I have some more for you. Don't worry. I have a couple more authors about to be published, one who's just published. I just finished my third book in the trilogy. The first book is Mariah C. The second one, Passion's Pride. And the last one is Miracle. And believe me, it contains a miracle. So please look for that. Pray for me. I just submitted it to Hay House. And we will see, you know, what will be coming in 2022. Yes.
Prayers up to you, Queen. We touch and agree. It will be successful, and thank you so very much for your voice and your sponsorship. All right, Danny Smith Mathis, Queen, you know, I don't even know where we met. That's
LinkedIn.
Like minds come together, like Kathy said, and we just, you know, are happy to bring our voices together. Like Kathy said, you know, it's up to us. It's up to the women, and it is definitely a responsibility that we do have to because we are the village speakers. It's not just our own homes. Danny has been part-time raising and homeschooling her grandchild. Now, you're talking about getting a well-rounded curriculum when you can be at Nana's house and then you're outside here with a curriculum and outside world, and, you know, you've got the best of both worlds. Your grandson, he's, you know, in that protection of family that is necessary. So give us some final thoughts in what you do to create this this atmosphere for your grandson, and how people can reach you. And I just really want to let you know how much you're appreciated for doing everything you've done for Tribe Family Channel and your sponsorship, making sure that our voices are heard here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Billy, thank you so much again for allowing me that opportunity. I am Danny Smith Mathis. All my social media, you can find me Danny Smith Mathis everywhere on social media. And that is also my website, www.DannySmithMathis.com. And that is Danny with an E, D-A-N-N-E, Smith and Mathis, like in Johnny, no relation. and say this, because in honor, I'd be very, very remiss as a alum of Carnegie Mellon University. I want to give honor to the founder of that university, Andrew Carnegie, who once was the richest man in the world, and he came as a dirt poor from Scotland to the United States, and by the 1880s, he had built a steel empire. Many of you know U.S. Steel, okay? And then he gave away, and $60 million of that wealth went to fund what we know today as the public library system. He started the public library system in the United States. Man with an eighth grade education became the man in the world, gave all his money away, and started a public library system. Because for those of you who don't know, the Scottish were the Negroes of Europe.
Yeah.
So he was feeling it. He was feeling trust and belief. He was feeling it. And so, and not only did he give $60 million to the public library system, $300,000, almost a half a million dollars of that in 1903. If you give me a half a million dollars right now, I'm gonna call it a day. But back in 1903, he gave $300,000 to build what we know as Washington D.C.'s oldest library, the Library of Congress, which in fact at that time was the only building in the nation's capital where a black person could use a public restroom. I'm just
saying.
Those libraries are key. That's part of my history. I am a product of the university that he built. And I'd be remiss if I did not, as part of my closing words, give honor to the founder of my alma mater, who built the public library system here in the United States, which I am certainly always and have my children, my children and my grandchildren use. And so I also wanted to say, I would like every single one of you during the month of February to join me on my live talks, and we'll schedule it, which would make sense for each of you to come to my live talks on the Wisdom app. So if you have an iPhone, you can download the app, the Wisdom app. If not, let's get it on Clubhouse. And I want each of you ladies to come. As a matter of fact, when we go to Clubhouse, I can bring all three of you on at the same time. Wisdom, I can only do one-on-one live talks. But I do, I honor each one of you. I want everyone, each one of you to be my guest during the month that we celebrate Black History. I don't say it's Black History Month for me. Black History is every month. So I just said the month.
Amen.
Black History. Mm-hmm. Please connect with me at DannySmithMathis@gmail.com. And anyone who is in listening to my voice here and wants to be part of knowing how I'm doing my homeschooling, please hit me up on my website. Contact me, fill out the contact form, just say interested in homeschooling, I'll follow up with you. And I'm Danny Smith Mathis, and I'm complete. And thank you so much, Beverly.
Thank you so much, Queens. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure. And I just want to let everyone know that you can definitely continue the conversation with us. We are Tribe Family Channel. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International Family brand. You can connect with us at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. We have currently 4 calls for submissions going on right now. So visit our website, click on announcements, scroll down. You'll find the PDF files, and our subjects are men of honor, women of honor, health, wellness. Suicide is not the answer. Call to serve, whether it's military, medical, educationally, or in any capacity where you are serving society. I want to thank our panel. I would be honored to join any entity that you have going on. Just hit us all up via email. There's an email going out right now as we speak that has all of our names in the email, and only subject matter it's going to have is much love, because that's all I got right now for you is much love. So thank you again for being here on the show. Continue working in the great capacities in the field that you're working in, teaching our babies and enlightening our sister and brethren, because it is necessary. They're going to gaslight the hell out of us. Yes, people, ladies and gentlemen, Tribe Family Channel, they're going to gaslight the hell out of you. So we're going to keep it real, real right here. And we're going to invite you to continue to follow our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo. For the Soul, so that you can listen to any of our archived shows. We'll be back on the air this Friday with Mr. Stephen Hutchinson. He is the CEO of Power Cats. He's going to be talking about his book that shares enlightenment and power. So thank you again, ladies. Have a blessed evening. Happy New Year to you. We will have a very empowering year, and I'm looking forward to more work to be done between all of us. So take care. God bless you, and good night. And thank you once again.
Thank you.
Good night, ladies.
Thank you.
Peace and love. Ladies, I hope to see you.
I know I boys and girls, listen up. You can be anything in the world, and God we trust. An architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a stronger that. Sniffing up drugs all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Boys and girls, listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, for you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists. So act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking f***ing ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Go. We came to this country, we were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded, they heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked, slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces, shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today. You see, if the truth is told, the youth can grow, they learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Y'all, save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.